I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Freddie and Mark.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here for round this week, but you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma, bring us some meatloaf.
You don't think this is the greatest? I will fight you. That's no lie.
You clap for the killers.
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw them off the back.
One time for the killers.
Whoa.
Double up for them gangsters.
Just live in the dream.
I have been waiting to get one of the Chicago Bulls.
I gotta be honest. I come in, it's like a little, like, I'm trying to get my
bearings.
It's cartoon, your mom, and it's like, you still got it. Just live in the dream. I love that.
All right. Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenfeld. With me, as always, is the man of the hour, the man of life, the man of mystery, intrigue, and beauty, Frederick Pfeiffer. My friend, how are you?
Living the dream. Living the dream, Mark. Things are going great. I was in Orlando this week, this past week, with the kids.
I'm sorry.
Disney World. I'm sorry. Are you kidding? Place is awesome. I got to recommend Hollywood Theater. No, what is it called? Hollywood Studios. Studios, fantastic. Star Wars characters galore. A lot of live action stuff. My kids got to fight Kylo Ren from the new movie. Just fantastic, man. If you really buy in, especially if you have kids, I guess if you know you go with your girlfriend, probably wouldn't be a great time. But if you have kids, there's nothing better than that. Buy in, really enjoy it. Great time, man. Can't recommend it enough. I'm surprised.
I've heard about the new Star Trek exhibit. I've heard that it's that the Star Wars exhibit's amazing, the new one.
Yeah, not Star Trek. Star Wars.
Star Wars, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Star Trek is Bush League. Star Wars.
Star Trek is so much better than Star Wars. It's not even funny.
That's nonsense. That's ridiculous.
Please.
Gosh,
please.
We had the Bob Dylan versus Bruce Springsteen. We gotta do Star Wars. Star Trek.
One's more popular. I'm not gonna deny that Star Wars is more popular.
Oh, you think?
If people actually enjoy both series, I think that you're going to get people that watch them both to say Star Trek's better. You've had more good movies, so Star Wars can change that. But you've had more good movies, and you have more of a universe. There's more going on in Star Trek.
More good movies?
Oh, yeah. Dude, up until this year, you only had three good Star Wars movies.
Star Trek 2, no. The Revenge of the Sith was a good movie. The third one was a good movie.
It was
criticized because one and two were such a colossal disappointment. If you watch three again, it was good.
I saw it recently, and I saw it. In fact, Freddie, I used to always think the three was good, and then when I saw it again recently, I didn't like it. Upon seeing it again, I didn't like it. I thought it was slow. The dialogue is horrible. The movie looks ridiculous. It looks so cartoony and ridiculous. The only scene that's cool is the end, and you already know what's going to happen. We waited three movies to find out what we already knew was going to occur. Oh, spoiler alert. Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader. Spoiler alert.
Star Trek 1 sucks. Star Trek 3 sucks.
Star Trek 2 is great. 3 is okay. 4 is awesome. 6 is great. First Contact is great, and both of the new ones are great.
No. Well, both of the new ones I did enjoy. I enjoyed both of the new ones in Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan, that's it.
Dude, 4 was great. Most people would say 2, 4, and 6 were all great Star Trek movies, my friends. They were all great movies. Great movies. Star Trek 6, a nice, young, supple Kate Cattrall.
None of them compare.
Caught in a whoring up of Sex and the City, she played a Vulcan.
Nothing compares to Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi or Star Wars.
Return of the Jedi is overrated. You're right. No Star Trek movie is as good as Empire Strikes Back.
Totally wrong. Return of the Jedi is an underrated movie. Let me tell you, the whole scene with Vader and Luke and the Emperor, those whole scenes there are fantastic. Wonderful acting, playing on his love for Leia and, you know, oh, sister, if you won't turn to the dark side, perhaps she will. No! That's one of the greatest scenes in cinema. I agree. I didn't like the Ewoks kind of sucked, but that movie is an excellent movie. Come on, man.
I tried pulling a Han Solo recently. I've been going out with this girl, and she said to me recently, she's like, Mark, I love you. And I just said, I know. It didn't go over as well as it did in the movie. It didn't go over very well.
I funny you mention that. We got back, we bought for my brother-in-law, who's a huge Star Wars fan. We bought matching T-shirts for him and his my sister-in-law, which is it says "I love you," and then a matching T-shirt says "I know." Isn't that pretty cool? So they wear it around together. I love
That's
it.
That's pretty funny.
It's it's fantastic. Anyhow, what is this, a basketball?
We have a lot to discuss. The problem is that the show. There's no way this show is going to get up before game what, six of the. Of the Western Conference Finals tonight.
It makes it
and,
fun.
Oh, I know. I mean, look.
Give me a prediction.
What an unbelievable turn of events, Fred. I mean, look, I love the NBA, as you know, as our listeners know, but it is the most predictable of the major sports in terms of who's going to win each series. I can't think of a single time in my life, ever, when it hasn't been because of injury, that... You've seen teams like Detroit win a finals in 2004, Miami winning the finals in, what was it, 06? You see things like that because maybe the East sucks and a team gets to go all the way and they just get their opponent at the right time. But I've never seen a team in the conference finals or in the conference semis that was clearly a third-tier team or a second-tier team. I mean, they clearly were, dude, they won like 20 less games than the Warriors did. I mean, they won almost 20 less games than the
Spurs.
Oh, third.
Come on. So, wait, are you're talking about the Thunder?
The Thunder are not in the class. Nobody gave the Thunder a chance in this series. Nobody.
I completely disagree. Mark, they got two of the top five players in the NBA. I'm kind of shocked people didn't give them a chance in any of these.
They won 55 games, man.
Well, 55.
They won like 55 games.
Mark, I think they had the most fourth quarter losses in the NBA. So they won. Number one, they won 55 games. That's my point. Yeah, they didn't win 73. They still won 55 games. That's an extremely successful season. And you have two of the top five players in the NBA. I'm kind of shocked more people didn't give them more love than. And everybody just blew them off as just like equivalent to the Clippers. They're an excellent team, and when you
they're a lot closer to the Clippers than they are to the Warriors. The Clippers won 53 games. The Clippers had injuries. The Clippers didn't have Blake Griffin for half the goddamn year, and they only won two less games than the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were relatively healthy this entire season.
Well, Billy Donovan did not. He's anti-Tibbs. He decided to play with lineups and rest his guys.
Yep.
Decided not to play every game like it was a game seven in the regular season. They lost.
Isn't that what the regular season's for?
Well,
do a little experimenting. You know you're going to the playoffs. It didn't make a difference. You knew you weren't going to get home court advantage against San Antonio or Golden State. It doesn't matter. Play open. Play free. Learn your team a little bit. And look, he uncovered a gem in this small ball lineup that he's found. In the Thunder, who knew? You know, I know lineup failed. That failed in multiple times this season.
Steven Adams has been is to me a Portland's Noah at his best. Like that guy's just impressed the heck out of me with his defense, his rebounding, his passing. What a player! I mean, he's a rock solid role player. Exactly what you need, a type of guy who plays defense, and you put him against those two, you know, fantastic players, Durant and Westbrook. I said this, I think, before on a different cast with Tim, but I think Westbrook's become more of the alpha than Durant has. I think he's almost the leader of the team now. I mean, if you look at game one, Durant was horrible down the stretch. He made one shot out of his last eight. He was one of his last eight. Had a horrible fourth quarter, and they still won the game. And then the other night, he was 8 of 24 from the field, 30%, and they destroyed him. It's Westbrook who's really, you know, with his triple-double, and the guy's just a complete force of nature. That guy is just so freaking good, and he's just taking it to another level now in these playoffs. You combine these two guys, Durant, in his defense, however, is playing the best defense I've ever seen him play in his career. He's doing a fantastic job there. And you combine that with Steven Adams, fantastic role player. Ibaka, fantastic role player. Guys that really bring it on the defensive end, you got something scary. And, you know, that said, Mark, I predict Golden State's going to win tonight. And then suddenly the pressure's on, right? They better finish him off in game six. Because if not, the Warriors are going to win this series. Mark my words. If I think Golden State wins tonight, that means it's a must-win for the Thunder, because if they lose Game mm-hmm. 6, they're losing Game 7. What say you?
Oh, I agree. Well, I mean, I think you're going to know right away. I think you're going to know very quickly tonight. If Golden State comes out tonight fighting like they did in Game 2, like they lost Game 1, they came out swinging in Game 2, you're going to know early. I think if it's a close game, the Thunder are going to be winning this series at some point. Whether they win tonight or whether they win the next game, they'll win this series. If Golden State can come out and show that they have an answer for the Thunder and really step on their throats and make them play on their toes going back to Oklahoma City, sure, absolutely. There's no pressure on the Thunder tonight. I anticipate that the Thunder will lose, but I feel like it's important that the Thunder keep it close. They cannot let Golden State have any confidence. The Golden State's confidence right now is at an all-time low. You saw them forcing shots. You see, with shooters especially, if a shooter can't get into rhythm, which is something that you have not really seen with Steph all year, Steph is always in rhythm. He can always find his rhythm. But when he doesn't find his rhythm, as you've seen in these playoffs, he keeps jacking those shots, and they're not going in. And
well, they're
you're going to know early on.
They're aggressively attacking Steph Curry with length. With Durant on him in the perimeter, they have so much length to throw at Curry. You know, it's up to a guy like Draymond Green to pick it up, and he's been totally outplayed in the series. He sucked the last two games. He was 1-9 shooting, 1-7 shooting. You're supposed to be an elite player. You can't just have back-to-back games like that because you're really not. You know, I always make this argument. I think he's the most overrated player I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
He's played his whole career with two of the greatest spacemakers in the history of the NBA, and everybody wants to write poetry about how fantastic this guy is. I'm not saying he's a bad player. He's a solid, rock-solid player, good player, all-star caliber player. But people talk about this. I mean, for God's sakes, he made the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like really? You really think he's an all-NBA, you know, first challenger for first-team NBA? He's not. You pick the guy up and drop him on another team with far less spacemakers than, you know, Curry and Thompson. He's good, but he's not, you know, this guy who's playing like he is this year or last year.
Well, you're seeing it right now, aren't you? Aren't you seeing it? Curry's struggling. The pressure goes on your other guys to step up and make up for that loss of production, and he can't do it. And the fact is not that he's failed time and time again. Over the last five games, he's shooting 32%. This extends from the Portland series. In the last game of the Portland series, he was 2-for-7. Yeah, he took 20 shots in the first Oklahoma City game, and he only made 9 of them, which, again, that's not terrible. But, I mean, yeah, the last two games, man, 1-for-9, 1-for-7, he's just been completely removed from the game. And if a player is that good, if a player is, I mean, this year he was All-NBA second team. If a player is an All-NBA second team player, that can't happen. That absolutely just cannot happen. An All-NBA second team, that must mean Klay Thompson was on that team too, because Curry was the only All-NBA first team from that team. To win 73 games, I mean, to have three guys that are in the you know, within the first two All-NBA teams, you know, it says a lot about those players. So this is it, Draymond Green. I mean, let's see if you can back up all that talk, and this is it. Because, frankly, if he puts up another clunker and Golden State goes out on this note, my memories of Draymond Green are going to be that he's a freaking loser, that he's a loser. That when it counted, because you've got to keep in mind, man, people feared Golden State. At a certain point, people were just petrified to play them. And then you get on a roll. It's the regular season. You're playing the Sacramento Kings. You know, you're playing the Denver Nuggets. You know, you're only playing the good teams every so often. And whatever. I mean, hey, regular season games can only get you so far. As we've seen in the Tom Thibodeau era, regular season wins only mean so much. They mean absolutely nothing right now. There's no question that Oklahoma City's out playing them, but I do expect Oklahoma City will win the series. It looks like they have an answer because these last two games haven't even been close. They haven't been close. This series hasn't been close. It was only the first game that was close.
Well, like I said, I feel like Golden State's going to win tonight, and then it's all on Game 6. If Golden State wins Game 6, they're going to win the series. They're going to win 3 in a row. If Oklahoma City wins Game 6, then, you know, obviously it goes on in the next round and a huge upset. Anyway, look at it, though. Golden State's already sacrificed their claim on the greatest team in NBA history. It's the Bulls of 96. The Bulls never – some guy I was arguing with on Twitter, can't remember who it was. You know, I shot this message after Game 3. Game 3 was a huge, pivotal game, and Golden State got their clock clean. They got destroyed. It wasn't even a game. It was a – absolute blowout. And I say the Bulls, you can't declare yourself the greatest team of all time and play like that in a key pivotal game. And then some guy comes back and says, the Bulls lost like that in the finals to Seattle tonight. And when they won it in 19.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They lost game. Yeah, the point is, though, they lost game four when they were already up 3-0 in Seattle. Yeah, it was 3-0, and they lost game four by right around 20 points. It wasn't a 30-plus point destruction, but they were already up 3-0. It's a huge difference when you're up 3-0 and you have a letdown for game four, right? Then
huge difference.
1-1 must win next game and lose by 30. So come on, don't even dare to make that argument. They've already sacrificed the claim on the greatest of all time. The Bulls are the greatest of all time. 96
Bulls, they already have more losses than the Bulls have. Because the thing is, yeah, we could talk regular season wins as much as you want to talk about it. If we're going to take the whole body of work into account, the Warriors have already lost more games than the Bulls lost that whole year.
Well,
they've already lost more.
It's the fashion in which they've lost. They've been destroyed in several games. Absolutely.
And you're right. That game mattered, man. That last game was their chance. Look, if it was a close game and Oklahoma City gutted it out, fine. Your ass was on the line. That was the game, man. And that was the key game. That was the game that at the end of the day, that's why I don't think they have a chance. Because that was their game to show that they were still a part of this series, and they got absolutely destroyed. If they got destroyed in a must-win game, tonight, yeah, it's must-win. But you're not going to be able to play as free-flowing. You're going to be playing far more tentatively, far more scared. There's no way that Golden State can feel comfortable coming into this game tonight. It was the last game that they needed to win.
I would be absolutely shocked if they lost tonight.
Oh, not me.
I would absolutely be shocked if they lost tonight. They're still the world champs. They still have a fantastic team. And, you know, Curry obviously has been taken down a notch with the injury. And there's no denying it. No matter what everybody says, he's healthy. He's not 100%. He's not 100%.
Well, he might be healthy. He just hasn't found his rhythm. You know, I mean, he's not looking that slow. I mean, why? Just because he's missing shots?
He's not, yeah, I mean, it's clear he's not healthy because he's not playing like he has all year. He's missing shots.
Well, he missed 3 weeks of basketball. I mean, he was in a rhythm. He was in a great rhythm, and that's a shooter. This isn't LeBron James who can go out there and play around the rim. Stephen Curry is a shooter. He drives, but he's mostly a jump shooter, and his jump shots aren't landing. I mean, I don't know if this is an injury or just a dude that needs to find his rhythm.
All right, well, let's move on a little bit to the Cavs-Raptors. Of course, we get a stinker of a... I mean, you got to admit, these playoffs in general have been kind of strange in that there's been so many stinking blowouts. There's been a ton of blowouts. It's like, how many close games have there been in the Raptors-Cavs series?
Zero? I don't think. Has there been one? Maybe there was one.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, how many, and not only that, in the Golden State-Oklahoma City series, and essentially the series before, too. I mean, the Spurs got blown out, basically, in their last game. Anyhow, just a lot of blowouts, but, you know, Toronto comes out.
Game four was 105-99. That was actually a pretty close game.
Good point. What do you think? I mean, pretty much guaranteed that the Cavs wrap it up.
Guaranteed. They blew them out in the first two games. They got a little loosey-goosey. Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are the saddest excuses for the best players on the team in the entire NBA. I mean, other than, like, teams that are good. Saddest excuse. It takes them playing out of their mind in a game, I think it was game four, the one that they won 105-99, game four. They had the best combined games that they've had in the history of their careers together. You've seen them be up and down in this whole playoffs. Toronto went down in the first series in the opening round because the two of them couldn't play together. And they were never good at the same time. You see a couple games where they play well together at the same time. They are not in the league of any of these best teams. The reason that the Toronto Raptors are the number two seed is because they're in the East. That's the bottom line. The East did not have a ton of separation between the 2-8 spot. There wasn't a ton of separation. Toronto won 50. God, they only won one less game than the Cavaliers. Jesus. They only won one less game than the Cavaliers. I did not realize that. I was making a point, and the statistics completely just bitch slapped me in the face. But
there you
56
go.
Wins. I mean, the Bulls beat the Raptors, I think, three times this year.
How, when you think about it, look at the teams. Three out of the four teams, the Bulls absolutely dominated. They beat Oklahoma City 2-0. They beat the Raptors, swept the Raptors in every game, and they had one loss against the Cavs. That's what makes this more I get frustrated when I know everybody has a tendency here, you know, just to look back at this season this at this team and just say, it's a little, just a little confusing to me at the level of, oh, they were terrible. They weren't terrible. They weren't terrible. They had a lot of bad periods in the second half of the year when injuries caught up to them. But, you know, it's easy to, when you really dwell on that, they had a lot of good moments too. Like I said, they beat Oklahoma City twice. They beat the Cavs. They only lost one game to the Cavs, and they swept the Raptors. These are good teams, you know. I don't know. And I felt like they played when they played the Spurs at the Spurs. I thought they played excellent in that game, and I thought they played Golden State pretty well at Golden State. I don't know. I just think people have a tendency now to look back on the full season and just act like it was the worst season. I understand why people were frustrated, right? We expected more. But big picture, it wasn't the worst. I mean, any of those cross years, pick them, post-Jordan, were exponentially worse than what we experienced this past season.
Yeah, obviously. It's just because they didn't make the playoffs. We expected them to make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs, and that's it. I mean, they're still above 500. So, yeah, I would appreciate if people don't, like, yeah, let's not try to create a dialogue here like this is the worst team in Bulls history. We looked through many worse teams than this.
Let's talk about Kyle Lee's article now. Get to this, because I'm sure this is a big topic for a lot of fans. And I mean, the guy is such a freaking hack. It's unbelievable. You know, he's got a point in there. Everything with this guy surrounds around the orb of with the general idea that Tom Thibodeau was the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's my hero, and everything I'm going to do is going to make him look good, and everybody who had a disagreement with some of the stuff that he did, I'm going to make them look horrible. And, you know, we had the interview with KC, which will be posted very shortly. And, Mark, you heard it from KC, too, when I asked the question. There were guys on the team who wanted Tibbs out. He pretty much named Noah as one of those guys. And yet, in the article, he's like, he makes this ridiculous statement that Tibbs protected the team from Foreman, right? Well, and then yet you also read that, you know, the GM and the management was going around Tibbs to talk to players. Hey, don't worry, he'll be out here. Well, what is it? You know, is it one or the other? Was he saving the players for management, or was management saving the players from Tibbs? I don't get it. Which one is it? It's everything with this guy is so ridiculous. And for him to, you know, get one player, I'd love to know who it was. My guess is Tony Snell. I don't know for sure.
Jimmy Butler. I read that it was Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler? What? Are you
saying? Don't quote me. I mean, that's what I read. That was what I read.
That can't be true. Because Jimmy Butler, everything I've read is Jimmy Butler and Noah didn't see eye to eye. And he even talked about it at the end of that article. You there?
Yeah, no, I'm hearing you.
I mean, there's no way it was Jimmy Butler.
We can speculate all day long. I mean, the fact is it tells me a lot when, A, Casey doesn't talk about it at all, and, B, Nick Fidel wrote an article immediately thereafter saying that the Bulls are having a positive dialogue. We know that Kyle Lee writes a smear campaign. That's what he does. He smears management. He smears Derrick Rose. That's what he's there for. That's what he does. And it's not that I don't want to believe this. I mean, I don't. I don't want to think that our team is just a complete disaster, because if it's management's the problem, they ain't going to get better. You know, you got to get rid of management. But at the end of the day, Kyle Lee writes all kinds of crazy shit. This is a very strongly worded article. And why would Joakim Noah come out there and say that? That doesn't help his market value. He's about to be a free agent. The best thing for him is for people to think that there's a market for his services, and what's the better place to start than with the Chicago Bulls? That's going to be the team that you're going to be assuming that you're bidding against is us. So why would he want to come out there and make it think that we don't have a chance to get his services?
That's what makes me think that it's a player who's on the way out, who management's already informed, hey, you know, thanks a lot, but we're moving on from you. And he's got some bad, you know, taste in his mouth about that situation. And so, because there's really nothing good that can happen out of this. Number one, you know Noah's PO'd for the reasons you just stated. Also because, you know, it kind of paints him in a little bit of a bad light. You know, I'm done with the team. Well, maybe the team should be done with you. You shot 38% last year and 48% from the free throw line. And this point I made on Twitter is basically, you think Noah was really frustrated with Gar Foreman and Hoiberg and Jim Paxson every time he went up to shoot a jumper last year? You think that's what was in his mind? That's why he shot 38%? Or why he shot 48% from the free throw line? You think he was thinking about all these issues when he was playing terrible like that. Now, I admit he started coming around, but, you know, for if it is true, this is what he said, I'm done with these guys. That's my counter. They should be done with you. I mean, you're a great guy, fantastic representative for the team, but you've been terrible for the most part of the last 2 years.
He's not good anymore.
Or injured. The last year with Tibbs, he played really bad down the stretch.
Terrible.
Nobody was guarding him outside of 5 feet. So, you know, I feel bad for him because I do feel like Tibbs cut his career short. I think it's inexcusable minutes he played in the years after Rose was hurt. So I do feel for him. But I also feel as though he should have embraced his role off the bench, should have realized that he's not what he was. He's on the tail end of his career. Embrace that instead of acting like he should be starting again because he didn't play as well as a starter should. On either end. And everybody thinks, oh, he's great defensively. He hasn't been anywhere near as good as he was in 13-14. You know, so I don't know. I know there's a lot of people who are angry about this and they feel like and Noah can do no wrong, but there's no denying the fact he was terrible on the offensive end. The stats say 38% had most of his shots inside seven feet. That's horrific. The 38% is bad for a guard. It's beyond bad. It's indescribably bad for a center.
Oh, terrible. Look, you can't justify his play. And frankly, as far as Joakim Noah as a player, I would not be upset at all if his time in Chicago is done. There's nothing that leads me to believe that he's got anything left in the tank. He was looking like there was a part of this year where it looked like maybe he was maybe getting it together a little bit, but I mean, it clearly looks like he's on the wrong side of 30 and this time has passed. I care more about, you know, obviously if management is running the ship like a bunch of crazy dictators and the teams, then, you know, nobody on the team likes them, you know, this can hurt us in free agency, this can hurt us all across the board on so many levels if our management is bad. I care more about that, but do I put a lot of stock into these articles? No. Joe Cowley is a complete, he's a tool. Always has been. He writes smear campaigns. That's what he does. The minute I read this article, so when I read it, it was a link on Facebook, so I didn't know where it was from or who wrote it. And I knew it was Cowley. I knew it was the Sun-Times. I knew it was Cowley before I even looked at the top. I just scrolled up, and I'm like, oh, yep, Joe Cowley knew it. No question. The only person who writes articles like this is Joe Cowley. That's it. He's the only one. His articles are always different than what the rest of the guys out there write. Nick Friedel, Casey Johnson. He will write stories that nobody else picks up. Stories like this, Fred. This is a huge story. Why is the only people that are talking it are citing Joe Cowley?
Well, my question.
You really think that Joe Cowley is in there with the players to the degree that
somebody,
a Nick Friedel and Casey Johnson is? A guy who doesn't even write every day? Cowley does not write about the team every single day. Do you think these players are just magically selecting him to give him the real juice? Or do you think he's making up bullshit? Because the fact is that if this is real, other people would report it.
I think he's talking to one player, and he's selectively quoting from the conversation. And really painting it in the way he wants it to be painted, which is, this is an incredibly incompetent management team. He hates management. He hates Reinsdorf. He wants nothing but, you know, the Bulls to lose since Tibbs is gone. And he wants nothing but success for Tibbs. He's a Tibbs fanboy, you know, masquerading himself as a beat writer. So that's his whole goal and his whole agenda here. And I know there's a player on a team that probably gave him this as a – you can't make this up. I mean, he would get fired if this was made up. So you're not going to risk your job. He probably talked to somebody, and the guy probably gave him a few of those quotes, but also, you know, gave some other quotes probably, you know, Fred and Noah got along a lot better. And every article I've read that Fred and Noah seemed to get along better as the season went on, and their relationship got better. So I don't know. It's just so typical of him. He found one guy who's not happy with his situation, and he's taking selective quotes from him, and he's making a big story, front page news about it. God bless him. But to take him seriously, I don't. I think he's a joke. And I don't think.
I'll never take anything that he says seriously. Show me an article by Casey, even Nick Friedel, and I'll put some juice behind it. But especially
well,
for Casey.
I laugh though too. Everybody who's so upset about Noah's probably leaving. All these guys on Twitter, and I'm not going to mention their names, but they know who they are. All these guys, Noah's leaving. He was the greatest center we ever had, and all this, all this stuff. Yeah, he's miles better than Artis Gilmore, sure. And, you know, whatever. He's the greatest center of all time. These were the same guys who were criticizing the Bulls for falling in love with their players, holding on to them for too long, always overestimating the value of their players, and these same guys are saying, you know, what idiots we are for letting Noah go. Whatever, man. Get your story right. The guys.
Yeah, well, and the fact is, this team needs, we need personnel changes. I don't want them to bring back the same team, so I don't want to go
with
that.
I don't mind bringing back Noah if it's at a good price. If it's a max deal, if it's over $14 million a year, hey, best of luck to you. He's not worth it.
There's no reason he should be making more than he's making right now. There's no reason. There's no reason he should be making more than like $7 million a year. He didn't earn it. Pay him for what he's done. And he's not going to be happy if you pay him for what he's done because he's not. Look, we got him on a bargain contract before. I mean, he was on a bargain contract for the production that he gave us. But the problem is, it's for the production that he gave us past 10. You never get paid for who you were. Well, you always get paid for who you were. But, you know, it's being projected on who you are. And who he is now is a guy who averaged 4.3 points and 8 rebounds last year. That's who he is now. That's Joakim Noah now.
I don't know. Heinrich's been paid for who he was for the last 7 years.
Not really. But Heinrich wasn't getting paid big bucks at the end of his career.
He was still getting contracts, he shouldn't have.
Yeah, whatever. He was getting contracts. Big difference. Joakim Noah. Well, some team will take Noah and take a risk on Noah. Yeah,
absolutely.
But he should not be making more than $7 million tops a year. The guy hasn't done anything.
I disagree with that. I'd give Noah $10 million a year. I'd give him $11 or $12 million a year. Anything over 14.
One-year contract.
Well, yeah, 1 or 2-year contract, limited years. He brings a lot of intangibles, right? He's a good leader. But also, he's got to be willing to, I think, be open to coming off the bench. He's got to be willing. If he's going to insist that I'm a starter, I'm going to start, he doesn't provide the spacing that you really need to bring the big men out. But, you know, I think he's still good. I still think he could be valuable to the team. I just don't think he's, you know, almost starter quality. Or, and I don't think he has that much time left. For me, if we're talking about anything more than 3 years, no, I'm out. But, you know, I think a good contract for Noah is somewhere between $10 and $12 million a year for 2 years. I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, at most. I mean, I don't know. We need to make changes. We need to make major personnel changes. The same team can't come back next year. And you already know that Rose is probably coming back, and you know that Jimmy's coming back. So if I'm not getting Pau Gasol back, it's starting with the front court where things are going to change. It's starting with that front court. And I'm going to try to get it, too.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, this is part of the discussion I had offline with Ribman. If I were the Bulls, I'd look at the top three picks. We had the lottery, right? Who's got the top three picks? We got the Sixers with the number one overall pick. We got Boston
and LA
three, and the Lakers number two. I think there's deals to be made with all three of those teams. To me, I like the deal. This deal, call up the Lakers. You know, D'Angelo. And the number two pick overall for, you know, Butler or whatever. You know, come up with that somewhat of that combination. I'm 100% on board for that, blowing this baby up. And maybe even Rhodes. You know, trading both of them. Figure out a way to get both of them out and just start.
There's no way. They wouldn't do that.
I think
Derek. At first, you couldn't do it. They're not making enough money. They're not making enough money, those guys, anyways. D'Angelo Russell's on the rookie contract.
Hold on a second. You don't feel like the Lakers would be willing to bring in Rose and Butler? I think they're at the edge of their patience with their fans. I think they want to make the playoffs, and I think bringing in Butler and Rose.
Why would a core of a team that didn't make the playoffs in the East make the playoffs in the West?
The West is getting worse, and the East is getting better.
They don't have the pieces. You don't put Butler and Rose on that team and expect that team's going to be any better than they were on the Bulls. They'll be worse. They don't have as many good pieces as we had.
I'm just saying, I think the Lakers would be open to some sort of trade for the number two pick, especially if it's a player of Butler's caliber. You might even be able to work out a trade with them for Rose.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't trade the number two pick for any of it.
If you were the Bulls, forget about the Lakers. If you're the Bulls, do you make that trade?
Of course, but the Lakers wouldn't do it. If I'm the Lakers, I would say, nice try.
All right. Well,
why are you wasting my time? That would have been a time waster. I wouldn't even have entertained the phone call.
I think there's a lot of Bulls fans that wouldn't make that deal. number one overall Sixers? Would you call the Sixers and say, I want the number one overall pick?
Of course. I would offer whoever the hell they want for the number one or two pick. We're not going to get it. No one's going to do that. They're not crazy. Why the hell would you take Jimmy Butler? I don't care how good you think Butler is. I would not take Jimmy Butler for any... I would not take Jimmy Butler for the number one or two pick. No way.
I would for number two. If you feel Ben Simmons is a transcendental player who's going to be great, then you wouldn't make it for Butler. But I could see, beyond him, I don't think there's anybody that's like a guaranteed in this draft. Well, man, you got to have this guy. You know, I think Ingram, you know, he's a little skinny.
Butler's enough garbage following him, man. You don't know if Butler can lead a team. Butler has enough negative pub following him that I wouldn't want Jimmy Butler. Like, I mean, I would take him for nothing and take a risk on him, but I'm not going to trade huge future assets.
How about Boston? All right, Boston, just another disappointment.
Maybe.
I think Boston in a second would trade for Butler. You know, I would really ask for the world, right? The number three overall pick, you know, I'd want one of their core players and another number one pick for Butler. I think that's what I'd ask for and just blow everything up and start over.
But lucky to get the three pick alone.
Oh, come on. I guarantee you they'd make that deal. I guarantee you they would. They're frustrated.
Dude, this pick is a huge, huge godsend for them. You have a core that was the third best team in the East, and now you got the number three pick. I wouldn't trade anything. I would say, hey, let's keep this thing together.
To help them put them over the top like Jimmy Butler could? Are you kidding? They've had like three.
I wouldn't trade any core pieces. Third pick in a bad contract, maybe. But that would be it.
I think you got to trade. It's in order for the Bulls to do the deal, it's got to be Butler and a core player on their team. And maybe even a few. I think that would get it done. I really do. I think
they're asking too much. That's too much.
Who's going to make you better than Jimmy Butler from Boston's perspective this year? And I understand from the Bulls' perspective, I'm realistic too. Whoever you get at number three is not going to make you better this year. You're going to be a worse team without Butler. But you know that's the question. The big question overall: can you win a title with Jimmy Butler as your best player? I don't think you can. I guess it's possible. I don't think he's a top 10 player, and it's only really happened, like we talked about before. Detroit's the only team that comes to mind that probably didn't have a top 10 player that year that won a title. It was 05 or 04 it was, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dirk, Leo and Dirk won against Cleveland. When Dirk beat Miami, he was probably top 10.
Player. Are you nuts?
Yeah, probably. At that point, he probably was.
Players in the league that year. Oh, come on.
I'm agreeing with you.
That was one of the all-time dumbest. Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, I can take things back. I can say them immediately. I can question myself. I can ask if this makes sense. That's all.
All right. Well, good. At least you admitted it. All right, my man. I gotta go, man. We've been on here for way too long. But it was good talking.
Good times. It'll be interesting to see what transpires.
Any movie recommendations before we go?
You know, I just saw what I see. I saw Civil War. I don't care about these Marvel movies, so it didn't do anything to me.
I enjoyed it. It was kind of long. I brought the kids, and kind of long.
You there?
I laughed out loud a few times. I thought it was an enjoyable movie.
I just saw, what's it called?
You're saying you wouldn't go to see it?
I didn't really care that much about it, but I don't really care about those Marvel movies.
Oh, come on. It was worth the trip. It's absolutely worth
it. I haven't seen anything in a little while that I've really liked, because I just saw Nice Guys last weekend, and I didn't like it.
Did you see Revenant?
I did, and I thought it was okay. It was okay.
Okay, yeah, that's very interesting. So you're the first guy, either... People I talked to about Revenant loved it, or they absolutely hated it. You're the first guy who seems kind of lukewarm on it, or you know, somewhere in the middle on it. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen it, so I'm going to see it hopefully. I don't know if it's on video this weekend. I'm trying to look for a good movie to see. Bridge of Spies.
Well, I mean, it's slow, and it's just like, you know, when you don't have dialogue, when a dude's stuck in the wilderness for 3 hours, You know, you got to make those 3 hours exciting, and it can't just be him wandering around the wilderness. There's got to be things going on, or else the movie's not interesting. And, you know, I thought they balanced it. Like, I thought that they could have been a little, they could have done a better job. They could have tightened the script a little bit more and made it a little bit shorter, and it would have been fine. But I feel like, you know, the beginning is great. You have a good middle. You have a good end. But then the quarter marks of the movie, it's a little slow.
Well, it's probably got, you know, one of my favorite actors there in Tom, what's his last name? Jesus.
Hardy.
Tom
Hardy?
Tom Hardy, phenomenal actor, who's in my current favorite film, probably that I've seen in the last year.
Mad Max.
Mad Max Fury Road, phenomenal movie.
I could not stand that movie. I turned it off.
What?
I hated that movie.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? How can you say that?
I mean, like, what? This is like some, like, weird, like, rave fetish or something. Like, it just, I did not get it. It was just, the movie freaked me out. I thought it was very strange. I was just like, this is really weird.
Oh, yeah.
I never got into it. I did not like it at all.
Yeah, that's a little strange, but the movie was phenomenal with several different meanings. I've watched it probably about, I'm not kidding, every time it's on HBO, I'm switching the channels, I watch a movie. Exciting, fantastic, deeper meaning to the movie also. Just so many great scenes that stick with you. I can't believe you didn't like that movie.
I turned it off. I got through about half of it, and I was just like, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to turn into a walking rave. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Try
I hated it.
Try to concentrate. Were you high when you watched it? Maybe that's why you didn't like it. Were you having a bad trip?
I might have been. There's a decent trip chance.
All right.
There's a decent chance.
That's probably what happened. All right, my man. I got to go, brother. Hey, good talking to you.
Yeah, as always, man. Until next time, Vinny Bolts.